Please turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of Mark, reading from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we begin in verse 38. But he said, the Lord Jesus, but he said to them, he speaks to his disciples, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. Now, I have to say to you, I was so looking forward in our working through this Gospel of Mark and coming towards the end of chapter 1. I've been so looking forward to this. Because it is one of the most beautiful incidents we read of in this Gospel. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how someone comes to him. Someone comes to him desperate for help. And we see the Lord Jesus true to his words. The one coming to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a wonderful picture this is of what Jesus Christ does in saving chosen sinners who come to him, pleading upon his mercy. And as we look at Mark's account, we're reminded that in the Gospel of Mark, this is a very, very concise Gospel account compared to the other synoptic Gospels, Matthew and Luke, which go into greater detail with a lot of these incidents. And when you think of Mark's Gospel being very concise, to the point, I'm minded of those words that we read in the Gospel of John, which particularly points to the deity of Christ. Words which I struggle to get my head around. They're the final words of the Gospel of John. John 21, 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. How can anyone make sense of that statement? How can anyone make sense of that statement? Clearly it teaches us that the Son of God, as he walked this earth, in those 3 years, those 3 short years of ministry here below, he used every moment, every incident was not by mistake. And clearly, this incident that we read of here in Mark chapter 1, and particularly as we're looking this morning, because we're probably going to look in 2 parts at this. There may even be more for a third, but we definitely will not cover all this morning. But as we look particularly at verses 40 and 41, see the words of verse 38 ring clear. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Yes, for this purpose as well. For the purpose of touching this poor leper. Just think of that. If the Lord Jesus had stayed there where the people longed for him to, they thronged upon him, they longed for him to stay there in Capernaum at that time. If he'd not gone elsewhere, this poor leper would never have been touched. We see the absolute and complete and perfect sovereignty of God here. Verse 14. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is willing even today. For this purpose he came forth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying of all acceptation. He is willing to cleanse sinners today. It is the will of God. He has come forth unto this purpose to save his people from their sins. He has come to save those. All that the Father has given unto him, he should lose nothing. Nothing. We come this morning to this beautiful event in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this marvellous event is displayed the grace, the compassion and great condescension of our great God and Saviour. Not only in the immediate narrative and act which takes place here, but in his humbling himself and coming into the world, partaking of our flesh, in order to save and make us acceptable before his holiness, before the holiness of God. We shall see more of that as we look next time at this incident. It would appear as we look in the light of all the gospel accounts, it would appear, and most people would agree, as we read this in conjunction with the account of this in Matthew 8, that this took place shortly after Jesus preached what is commonly called, known as, the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, Mark does not record the Sermon on the Mount. But of course, we read that particularly in Matthew's Gospel. verses, chapters 5 through 7. And we read in Matthew 8, verses 1 to 2, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came. We need to try and get our head around. I know there are only a few places in the world today where leprosy still ravages. But to try and get our head around the tragedy of being a leper. This disease which just wasted away the bodies of those it afflicted. It was a disease which was not only contagious, it was also hereditary. That which was eating away within was displayed outwardly by these sores and these holes would appear in their bodies. That, to go to a leper colony would be not a good sight. You may have seen the film Ben-Hur, and you remember in the story, Judith Ben-Hur, after he comes back, he's been a slave in the Roman galleys. And he comes back. He's set free by a Roman senator who adopts him as his son. And he goes back and he sees nothing but destruction of his family. And he finds out that his mother and his sister are both lepers now, living in a leper colony. And they cannot bear to uncover their faces and show to him, not wanting him to come anywhere near. Firstly, behold, a man comes to Jesus, helpless, hopeless, and totally aware that he could do nothing to change his situation. Imagine this situation. There is no NHS. There is no cure. There is no one who wants to come near this man for fear. And at the outset, see, Jesus deals with hopeless cases. If I can put it this way, oh, my Jesus specializes in the hopeless. Isn't that tune says, came with the helpless and hopeless to dwell. Sharing their sorrow and shame. Seeking the lost. Seeking redeeming at measureless cost. Those who are despairing, poor and miserable. Imagine the state of misery for this man. What a state. What a state he was in. Yet this man who comes to Jesus. Somehow coming to Jesus, there is hope. A spark of hope is lit within his heart, which can only have come from God himself. Such a one we see coming before the Son of God. This man was not just in a state of leprosy. It appeared to have taken his whole body over. Luke's account of this in Luke 5:12 records he was full of leprosy. He hadn't just contracted it. He was full of it. And see the picture here of the state. The state, the hopeless state of everyone born in the flesh into this world. Everyone, as we read in Psalm 51. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. Those words don't mean that there was an iniquitous act of David's mother which brought his conception. No. She passed on the iniquity of sin, which falls upon all and has fallen upon all in Adam because one man sinned. Yes, born full of sin, full of it. And as the apostle said in Romans 7, I know in my flesh dwells no good thing. What a wonderful picture this is of the gospel, of the need, the desperate need of sinners. And the only hope that there is. Leprosy was not only a contagious disease, as I said, it also was a hereditary one. And so indeed, sin has been passed to all through our parents, and ultimately from that one man through whom Romans 5 says, sin came into the world. Thus sin passed on to every man. And so this poor leper's helpless plight mirrors that of all sinners. Without the intervention of Christ. Yes, his was an outward disease. But you know, he was in no more a state of desperation than all those others in those crowds that followed Jesus. Secondly, though this man was in such a terrible state, shunned by society and an outcast, though he no doubt would have followed that great multitude, most certainly at a distance, as they would have been fearful of him coming anywhere near to them. Upon hearing the undoubted commotion, the undoubted noise, as we constantly read, it was noised abroad of the Lord Jesus. We read even in our text here in Mark 1, do we not? We've already read it. Throughout, immediately his fame, verse 28, immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. This man, this was no secret about this man. The man Christ Jesus. The man from Galilee. The man from Nazareth. Upon hearing the undoubted noise of the people, what those conversations would have been. Speaking about this great teacher and performer of miracles. There was found in him an acknowledgement of who Jesus was. At least to give him some amount of reverence. For notice this. Now a leper came to him, imploring him. Imploring him. Begging him. Kneeling down to him. Kneeling down to Jesus. Imploring, meaning to beseech, to beg. Behold the great humility displayed here. This is the sacrifice that God requires of sinners. A broken and a contrite spirit. Not a proud heart. Not one that says,
I've done this and I've done that.
Will you accept me into your kingdom because of this? No. Coming desperately, without hope, with nothing to offer but filth and depravity. He came imploring, kneeling before. And you know what? We read of this Lord Jesus, this branch who was promised in Zechariah the prophet. He will come, and a bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed comes before him. A broken spirit. A broken heart. A hopeless soul. He will not break. What a wonderful promise that is of the Saviour, isn't it? And even as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we find ourselves to be in a state physically at times it seems hopeless and helpless. Whether it be through things we have done, or things which are done to us, or things which just come upon us. Ailments come upon us. And we're encouraged. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the living God. And he will lift you up. He's going to lift you up. Even youths grow weary. But those who put their trust in the Lord, they will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow faint. Trust in Jesus. Behold the great humility displayed by this man in coming to Jesus. He in no way laid claim that Jesus was beholden to him in any way. The opposite way round. He gave Jesus the reverence due who he is. He was kneeling down to him. Or as Luke 5:12 records the event, that he saw Jesus and he fell on his face and implored him. He fell on his face and implored him. Oh, what a difference that is to the way so many people treat the Lord Jesus today. As if he's some sugar daddy who just gives things out to people. There is no reverence shown to him. You may think rightly. This man comes kneeling to Jesus. He comes reverencing Jesus. He comes acknowledging Jesus. This man was worshipping Jesus. Matthew 8 says, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." The same was true of Job, who, when Satan was given permission to try him with many, many tests, and he lost everything. And his first act was, in his desperate state, not self-pity. He fell on his face and worshipped. He worshipped. Sure, he understood and he knew how he felt in the flesh, the trials he was going through, but he acknowledged the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshipped Jesus. He gave to Jesus the honour due his name, and yet threw himself upon the mercy of the Lord, seeking compassion, seeking mercy and grace in this time of need. And are we not, as the people of God, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we even are encouraged to come boldly before the throne of grace. What comes before that? We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who has feeling for our infirmities. Let us therefore come before the throne of grace, that we may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. What a wonderful Saviour. Who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. It's us that change. He's not changed. He is willing. He's willing to bear all. To bear all our problems. He fell on his face. He worshipped him. Thirdly, somehow amidst all the despair, all this despair, this man knew he was given faith to look unto Jesus. He had nothing else. Believing somehow he could do what was beyond any man. This man was full, riddled with leprosy. There was no known treatment for it. And you know what? Though we be those who believe quite rightly, according to the scriptures, that the apostolic age of those miracles and gifts have ceased, God is still the God who answers prayer. Just read in James. The fervent prayers of his people. He answers those prayers according to his will. If he is willing. If it is his perfect will. And so we should bring those prayers. Those bold prayers to him. And you know what? We can, with all confidence, as we would seek his will, we can bring someone who is riddled with cancer, who is riddled with an incurable ailment, and plead before the throne of grace. This is biblical. If you're willing, Lord, you can completely cleanse. You can completely cure. And by the way, this isn't just theory. This is fact. Many people have proved the Lord and dumbfounded science, because our God is a great God. And the greatest miracle to be performed surely is anyway to be made cleansed from all sin, to be made redeemed, to be made reconciled to God, to be born again. And yet this new birth has nothing to do with us. And this man shows this is a work going on within him. Has stirred him to cry out to Jesus. You can make me clean. God has given him faith. see from the words of the leper, he more than saw a possibility, but the certainty that what he requested of the Son of God would be done. How did he say this? This could only be the work of God in him. This surely is what faith is. Hebrews 11:1. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of the things hoped for is the one we look to by faith. But the evidence of things not seen is that working in us by God. It is God working in us by his Spirit. The work of new birth. In short, there was a work of God's grace going on within this man, which motivated him. Which motivated him and moved him to utter these words as we read, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." This faith which he was enabled to exercise, this faith which he was enabled to exercise in calling out to Jesus, begging for help, was enough. Was enough. Was sufficient for him to receive life-changing, a life-changing movement of God within him. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. Fourthly, see, faith without one to look to by that faith achieves nothing. Achieves nothing. It's one of the reasons why I just cannot accept the statement that people make, "Well, I've got my faith." What does that mean? Your faith. What is your faith? What is the object of your faith? How did your faith come? If it's not totally, utterly, only upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, it's useless. It's useless. And as we shall see next time, anyway, faith is seen, the work of faith and the work of salvation is seen outwardly. No, faith needs an object. Looking unto Jesus is what made all the difference here. Looking unto Jesus. Peter said to the Lord Jesus when they were in the boat at night and he came to them walking on the water. And he said to Jesus, "If it is you, command me to come to you walking on the water." And he says, and he commanded him, and then he came walking on the water to Jesus, and then he observed, he looked down, he observed the waves, and he began to sink. Why? Because he wasn't looking on Jesus. Peter had no ability to walk on water, none whatsoever. But at the word of Jesus, looking to Jesus, with God all things are possible to him who believes. That Jesus makes all the difference in changing lives, of being in total despair and looking forward to nothing but God's judgment at sin, to joy and through being made right with the Almighty. That's the difference. That's all the difference. That's always been the difference. The one who knows the salvation which is in Christ Jesus was once, having no hope, just like this man, no different. Having no hope and without God in the world, as Ephesians 2:12 tells us. And if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't truly looked to him by faith, and you haven't confessed your worthlessness, that you came forth into this world bringing nothing but sin, and that you are in this desperate state under the wrath of God, if you have not come humbly before him, you are having no hope. Because you're without God. Just as that woman that Jesus met at the well in Samaria, he told her plainly, you worship whom you know not. But this man, coming in worship, was brought to know the Saviour. This man, crying out in faith, received mercy from the Lord Jesus, who we read was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Don't pass over those words too quickly. It's the same Jesus who, at the graveside of Lazarus in John 11, groaned within him. He wept. He groaned. He has the feeling of his people's infirmities. Whatever those infirmities are, he has feeling for them. He knows. Come to him. Come to him, child of God. Come to him and bring your infirmities to him. He has feeling for them. He's moved with the feeling of them. And ultimately we see God's greatest act of compassion. His kindness, we read in Titus 3. The kindness of God appeared. Not by any works of righteousness that we had done. Sending his son into this world. He pitied this man's plight. That's what it means. He pitied his plight and so answered his request, saying, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. What did we read in John 15 earlier on? You are all clean by the word that I have spoken to you. At that word. Be cleansed. Now it has been rightly said that before we see anything outwardly, this man was already cleansed. He was already cleansed. In fact, he was already cleansed before Jesus uttered those words. Be clean. And we read immediately at this word of Jesus, who put out his hand and touched him. Once again, words which show forth what we read here of his compassion. Demonstrated fully. He didn't stand behind a pulpit. The leper there. At the back of the multitude. Did he? Jesus, this man coming, kneeling before him. He didn't merely look down upon him. And say, be clean. Jesus stretched out his hand. And touched him. That's how we know that man was clean. He stretched out his hand and touched him. No one else could, no one else dare touch this man. He stretched out and laid hands upon this poor, unclean, contagious leper. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. We read of the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus, and the Lord came and confronted him, and he was born again. He was blinded for a time, and then when Ananias comes to him, we see Ananias is sent to and with the command of God, receive your sight, brother Saul, and something like fish scales fell from his eyes, and he was able to see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I once was unclean, but now I'm pure in the sight of God. What a wonderful picture of what God does in Jesus Christ for sinners whom he calls to believe on his Son, to simply believe on his Son. This Jesus who stretched out his hands to save on the cross, where he paid the ransom price with his own blood to set his people free from the bondage far worse than leprosy. Leprosy will only last in this lifetime. That bondage being under the wrath of God eternally. Which we are full of. That sin and depravity which brings us into judgment. By that blood which speaks peace unto our souls. We read in the book of Hebrews, referring back to the first murder in this world and blood crying from the ground, the blood of Abel. After Cain had slain his brother. And God pronounces judgment on Cain and says, your brother's blood cries out unto me from the ground. Cries out for justice. For judgment. For wrath. The blood of Jesus speaks greater things than that of Abel. That's what we read. It speaks peace to our souls. It speaks cleansing. It speaks reconciliation. It speaks acceptance. He cleanses his people from all sin now. For surely the Lord Jesus is the sum and the substance of our faith. And the Lord Jesus not only can but is willing to cleanse the foulest sinner. If people would say that that were not so, they just need to turn to these incidents here in the Gospels with these hopeless cases. As much as this man completely unable to make a change in his situation, the stench of his horrible skin disease which afflicted him and overcome him by it being full of leprosy, so all are by nature completely, utterly hopeless, full of sin within, which left alone brings death and destruction spiritually and makes us all unacceptable before a holy God. We are all as an unclean thing, says Isaiah 64. Outcasts, yet the same Lord. The same Lord Jesus who stretched forth his hand willingly to touch him. To touch and to heal the leprous man. And cleanse him of what ailed him. Even more wonderful than this. the Saviour cleanses sinners from within today. From all sin. The leper simply humbled himself before the Saviour and acknowledged what was plain. What was obvious. His utter hopeless state without Jesus to change things. And he simply threw himself upon the mercy of his God. And so it is with sinners coming by faith to Christ today, seeking the cleansing from sin and forgiveness with God. He is willing. He is willing. He's not just able, he is willing. This is the message of the church, the testimony to the world around. It is of him that we can speak of personally, if we know this Saviour. Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a testimony to tell people. As we shall see next time, no wonder this man could not keep it to himself. And let's not keep it to ourselves. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?